Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
The winning strategies for spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. Now, some of you who have been around for a while will observe that I've been pushing the frontiers of spiritual warfare for a while now, talking about it. I don't know if the Lord permits, but if he does, I will look at, if I don't, you know, finish up this message in the first service, then I will probably, maybe some other time. If not, I want to talk about altars, because you can't really talk about spiritual warfare without dealing with altars. All right, so, but maybe we'll get there, maybe not. If not, I'm still owing you that message. So, I want us to read from Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, and from verse 1. So, whether you are listening online or you are here right now, you need to pay attention, because the war is real. All right? It's real. Now, the subject of spiritual warfare is so important that every time that, right from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, there was some form of engagement, some form of problem, battles, all right? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, a problem was introduced, because the scripture said, and God, you know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then the earth was suddenly without form. So, if the Lord created the heavens and the earth, that means he could not have created something that was without form. So, in between verse 1 and verse 2, something must have happened. And it is within that space of time that you have the scientists playing in that field. They talk about the Big Bang Theorem, they talk about Australopithecus. Do you know Australopithecus? Some of you don't remember. Is it geography? Where did we learn Australopithecus? Science. That was the oldest man. His category is Australopithecus. So that man is older than Adam. Are you with me? Because the man is millions of years old. Somebody was asking me, where is the Bible verse? I say it's not in the Bible. It's science. Science does not oppose God. Science is only as powerful as the person who is handling it. And somebody was sharing, was it Busayo last Sunday or 2 Sundays ago? She said, in the days of artificial intelligence, it is important to note. I know it was like a rhema for me. Busayo. Hopefully, Reverend Busayo will be here for second service. So, but she said something. She said that the AI as we know it today, we must understand that the current limitation of AI is the limitation of the software engineer or the developer. That the day that person cracks a further code, AI will still advance. So don't come and kill yourself here and say AI has come. AI is still coming. Alright? So in the same vein, revelation is progressive. Anything you are able to lay hold on, there are some of you, if you are down with headache or malaria, you don't even treat it. Because your faith, your revelation has risen so high that you cannot even allow malaria to stop you from coming to church. But there are some people, if they have just a small headache, they will send a text to their boss. I'm not feeling fine. I can't come to work today. I work from home. What are you working from home? Go to work. Eh? You don't need to be lying. And text message has no emotions. Say, I'm feeling very sick now. But I can't see it. It's just your message I'm seeing. So you need to talk to me on the phone. That's, sir, good morning. Say, okay, don't worry. Go and treat yourself. And if you try to act, I will catch you. Because it takes an actor to catch another actor. It takes a thief to catch another thief. You know what I'm saying? All right. So I'm just trying to tell us that in between Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2, a lot has happened. Before the scripture summarized and said, and the earth was without form and void. What does the word without form mean? It means shapeless. What was void? What about void? Empty. Nothingness. And in verse 1, the scripture says, and God created the heavens. So did God create something without shape? Meanwhile, the scripture tells us that the earth sits in a circular, it's in the book of Job, tells that the earth is in a circular space. Even before science told us or informed us that the earth was spherical, science has already, Job has already told us. So if you say the earth was without form, that means that spherical nature became distorted by one man's rebellion. So man, Adam as we know it, is the first creature that God made in his own image. Not necessarily the first man. Because even when we try to argue with scientists that Adam was the first man, they have dug out bones, all right, of dinosaurs. They have dug out bones of people who were said to be 6 million years old or 5 million years old, ever before Adam. Adam is just somewhere under 8,000 years. All right, so a lot has happened. This advancement we are seeing now, it didn't start today. Something has been happening way back. So everything is an agenda. The reason why you are born into your family is because you are meant to fit into God's ultimate agenda. The reason why you prayed and fasted and you are still born in Nigeria. The reason why your parents fasted, we want a son, and they got a daughter, is because ultimately the will of the Lord shall stand. So I want you to understand the context of what we are saying here. You have to celebrate who you are and stop wishing to be somebody else. Stop wishing that, oh, maybe I am a man trapped in a woman's body. You have not faced the reality yet. There's a kind of money or alert you'll be getting. You'll be happy that you're a woman. There's a kind of alert. People just say, I like you. You look very nice. You are very pretty. 50,000, 100,000. How much is your salary? Say, I beg. Let me be a woman, no? You go and bring for all those songs that celebrate women. You'll be least appreciate that the foundations have been laid for warfare. In fact, one of the purposes of Jesus, as stated in scripture, is that for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might what? He might destroy the works of Satan. The word destroy the works of Satan there denotes warfare. So if you are a Christian now, and we are in a season of war, we are not in a season of peace. All right, I was sharing on my status this morning, my doctor sent it to me from the UK. The Queen James Bible is officially out. The homosexual Bible. Officially out. They just took the King James Bible and edited all the homosexual verses. And if you check my status, you see the post there. You know, so while you are here singing and dancing and attending early morning prayers online, you need to understand that the battle has gone beyond all those ones. It's not about your needs now. There is a direct attempt to destroy what God has worked for. Praise God. So you need to understand, we need to raise sons. God cannot send babies to war. Every church must raise mature sons. Because God cannot send babies to war. So, let's read from Joshua chapter 5. Hopefully I can do some justice to this. Do we have the scripture up there? And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of the Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan. Now, you need to pay attention. This is not just a king. There are kings here. They heard something. Something that had never been done before. They said they heard that the Lord. Was it the Israelites? They said the Lord. They heard that the Lord dried up. Now it's good for you to know where your spiritual heritage is. Because the spiritual father of Joshua also parted the sea. But you see, it's the same anointing, but different dimensions. So all of you would like to be copycats. You need to understand that the anointing is unique to you. It will take the shape of the vessel. In the case of Joshua, he did not part the sea. He made the water dry. They went into the ground. And he did it with a sword. They took the Ark of Covenant and the priest. They stepped into the waters. As soon as the Ark got into the water, the water started receding. But in the case of Moses, He stretched the hand. He didn't go into the water, and the water parted. Which, and the Ark of the Covenant represents the manifest presence of God, the glory of God. So when you are dealing with certain spiritual battles, and you find that your prayers are not working, then you need to go into the atmosphere of locating the glory of God. There are demons. I don't even know which principality can stand before the manifest glory of God. I don't know, except there's disobedience in your life. Are you with me now? Please, these things I'm sharing with you are not man's ideas, because, you know, sometimes this generation, we have reduced the word of God to like to a talk. Like my friend in St. Peter's and the Catholic Church said, the priest gave a good talk. It's a good talk. I said, we are not giving talk here. We are preaching Bible. So you need to open your Bible. It's a good talk. 15 minutes. 15 minutes, no time. So I love Catholics, but this is not a talk. I'm showing you Bible. Don't let the devil deceive you to think it is man's opinion, because that's how we arrived at Queen James Bible. And 100 years from now, they will remove all the KJVs, and everybody preaching there will be quoting from Queen James. So it's an agenda. It's a strategy. You keep shouting and dancing and doing early morning prayers. They are buying all the printing presses, buying all the developing social media apps, and selling you what they want. Or you go on Google Play Store, you will not see one KJV Bible again. But in spite of everything, the Lord is still working. All right? He said they heard that the Lord had dried up the waters. Please give me that scripture. The Lord had dried up the waters. The Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was there spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. So when you are in a winning team, I'm giving you principles here, strategies, that there are spiritual battles you will face. They only respect the glory of God. So anytime you begin to pray and you are fasting and you are not getting what you want, you need to enter into a season of worship and obedience. A season of what? Worship and obedience. You check yourself to be sure that there's nothing standing between you and God. Because one of the easiest ways to bring God to the scene is to, when you begin to worship Him, and you begin to glorify Him, and begin to magnify Him, and you begin to praise Him, when you begin to enter, you do it consistently. After some time, something happens. The atmosphere will just break. And you can be in your room, no light, no water, but you are experiencing the glory of God in a very powerful way. Come on, say, that's my portion. Go back to the scripture. He said their heart melted within them. There was no spirit. That means there was no energy. There are certain things. Have you ever gotten an information and you became weak? In those days on campus, they tell you one result has been released. And that it was pasted on the board with both, not just matric number, name and matric number. And, you know, there was no spirit in you. You just, to go, just trek. Go, that is all there. You could not move from here to that point, because you know that what you wrote. you submitted quickly. You posed out of the exam. Now the exam, your result is saying, come and pose. I want to show you something. So there are things that can happen to a man. Challenges that can happen to you. You become very weak. When somebody asks you what's happening, you don't even know where to start from. That was the kind of terrifying power that God displayed concerning His children. That when the Amorites heard, they knew that there was no need to go to war. It was a lost battle. Verse 3. At that time, now, after the Lord got to the point where He had established His dominion in the hearts of those Amorites, and they became afraid, because when authority is introduced in the spirit realm, you either feel fear or feel faith. Anytime authority is, either you will feel fear, that means this thing is above me, or you will feel faith, which means I can run towards it. So anytime you are experiencing some emotions, those emotions might not just be emotions, they might be God trying to tell you that you need to retreat. First of all, before you advance. which is why we even fast. It's called a retreat. We come back. We'll sit under the presence of God. Then we'll come forward again. So the reason why we retreat is so that we might advance. Verse 3. At that time the Lord said to Joshua, at that time, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel. How many times? How many times? And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of the foreskin. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war. I mean, what kind of men? Are you here now? Which kind of men? The scripture said the men of war died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now, all the people that came out were circumcised. But all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. Hallelujah. You see, please pay attention to what I want to share. I have resolved that I will do my best. Anytime I'm preaching, I will just quote Bible to you. Because there's so much rubbish out there now. And everybody is talking. Their tongues are very smooth and sweet. We don't even know who is telling us the truth anymore. In the scriptures, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2:14, the scripture says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. The word triumph denotes warfare. The word triumph denotes victory. So please hear me. God's covenant with you is victory in every season. So when we talk about spiritual warfare, it's not to make you think Satan is powerful. Is to tell you you have been empowered above his level of operation. And that there are things that Satan cannot stand against. There are certain things that once they are in place in your life, Satan becomes really very weak when it comes to your matter. Please pay attention. Look at our scripture. It says, blessed be the Lord who causes us to triumph. He causes us to triumph in Christ. So our victory is in who? Our victory is in Christ, and as long as you see yourself in Christ, you have obeyed one of the primary laws of spiritual warfare, because you are not approaching from the position of the flesh. Please, are you with me? You are not saying, oh, because I can fast for 21 days, or because I can fast for 30 days, I'm going to destroy Satan. No, it is God who causes us, which God are they talking about? God the Father, who causes us to triumph in Christ. So one of the departments that fall under the God of Father is warfare. Because it's his agenda. Just the same way that Jesus is the one who calls men to ministries. Apostles, prophets. I'm not talking about you being in a church and then they just ordain you assistant prophet, reverend, and you become a very popular, they call you eminence or something. No. I'm talking about God actually calling you into the ministry. That's what I'm talking about. The Bible says he that ascended first descended, and then he took captive, and gave gifts unto men. And those gifts were apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So the part of the office of Christ is to call men to ministries. You cannot call yourself to be a man of God, even though today we have a lot of people like that. But one of the things that fall to the Holy Spirit is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the dispensation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So you see, even though they are one, they have certain things in their departments that are unique to them. And this scripture tells us that blessed be God. The God there is talking about God the Father, who causes us to triumph always in Christ. So these are principles of warfare. You must always see that it is in Christ that you are going to be victorious. You must see it. You must know it. You must believe it. Nothing must take away that. It's a foundational truth. Not that you are putting your hope in fasting. People who are in the old court, they also fast. Are we going to fast? Yes. But you see, the foundation that we upon which we are standing must be Christ. Because it is when we are in Christ that God, because God the Father cannot allow his son to fail. So it is God pushing his son into triumph. And because you are in him, you are also into triumphing. Hallelujah. You see, Paul knew that we will also, Paul was the one who wrote the book of Corinthians. And Paul knew that as Christians, we will need to fight. Paul knew. Paul knew, and God bless Apostle Paul. Paul knew that we would need to fight. Imagine that the book of Corinthians was not in the Bible. And then you are going through certain things in your life. Or the book of Ephesians. You don't know anything about the weapons of our warfare. You don't know anything about it. And you are going through certain problems at your office. And you've been in that problem for 1 month. You have no idea that Satan is at your door. You think it's just about the job. Satan delights in you being uncomfortable. Satan delights, because if you're uncomfortable, you cannot pray. Meanwhile, the scripture is telling us that if anyone is sick, let him call to the elders. Is any man depressed? Let him pray. So most of the time, Satan puts you in a very uncomfortable position and then you are unable to pray. So the moment we have one less person praying, the atmosphere in the realm of spirit is less choked. What God wants is for you to be praying in your house. Mama is praying in her house. I'm praying in my house. Everybody is praying. And at that time, you will see the spirit realm choked with incense, prayers, and Satan and demons cannot operate. But if they give Instagram and TikTok and everything, and you are just shaking your body there, and you are happy, you feel like rain, and you are excited, at the end of the day, the atmosphere is free. Oh my God, have you ever, in those days, we used to have some people, you know, and I thank God they are gone now. Early in the morning, when they start frying their things by the road, they fry all these fish. And the fish, I don't know, it's like roasted fish or small. The aroma fills the whole street. Who knows what I'm talking about? Those people who know how to fry fish by the main road. I don't know, is it roasting or smoking? So the thing is just everywhere. But for people like us who don't eat fish, I say, oh my God, this woman has started again. I start binding. Say, let rain fall. Let water spawn that charcoal, whatever. But God will not answer the prayer. So the team will just, then I pack my load, I leave the house. I say, I beg. It's time to go and visit Pastor Desmond. I hope God wants to catch you. As you get Pastor Desmond's house, somebody will be arranging his own charcoal there, putting fish. Maybe you go back to your village. So it is a principle. The scripture tells us in the book of Revelations that the prayer of the saints are like incense. Do you agree with me? The prayer of the saints are like what? They are like incense before God. So when you pray, it's not a matter of, oh, I pray 5 minutes, God help me. No. The more you pray, the more the incense. Hallelujah. Come on, tell your neighbor, pray. Tell your neighbor, have a prayer life. You get why. So Paul knew that we have to fight as Christians. But Paul also knew we were called to a victorious lifestyle. Hallelujah. Now also, I need to tell you that the battles that we are fighting, they are the lost battles. Any battle you are facing in your life is not you. It's the lost battle. And the moment you see it like that, there was a song we used to sing. You now begin to sing that song. We used to sing it in our old church. Who can battle with the Lord? Who can battle with the Lord? We don't need keyboard for that one. It's just your hand. And you see all the warriors, all the men that look like they can't talk in the church. All of a sudden, the church will just go into a frenzy. Because we know that any attack against the son is an attack against the father. Any attack against the daughter, your father will not sit down in front of his house and allow one neighbor molest his daughter. So you need to understand that whatever you are going through now is not about you. It's an assault upon the agenda of heaven. So don't take the battle on your head as if it's your problem. No, God is there. God is interested. Come on, tell your neighbor, God is interested. If the devil comes to you in the spiritual realm, you may think, oh, it's because it's spiritual realm. But the devil can come to you at your business. All of a sudden, you are not making sales. And the devil knows that if you are not making sales, you'll be depressed. You start warning. You can't attend service. You can't come to church. Somebody is sick. So it's an assault against the kingdom. An assault against one is an assault against. So you must stop thinking me and start thinking we. Many do not even understand that the issue of marriage as a Christian is a spiritual battle. Ah, there are no brothers. Oh, there are no sisters. Are you aware that the same, that other place you are targeting, that's what the sisters there are saying. You are here saying there's no brother. The sisters in that other church too, where your mind is, they are also saying there are no brothers. In the abroad, the UK, they also say there's no husband. Come with your husband. In Canada, it's part of the conditions. Come with your husband because no husband here. Okay, so why are all the people marrying? Why are all the people marrying? Why are we having unhealthy expectations? Huh? No marriage. Pastor David came to this church as a single man. Pastor Tope came as a single man. Kenny came as a single man. He go to make him as a single man. Osses came as a single man. Who else? John Ewuji came as a single man. Reverend John is married. When we share the grace now, he will go and eat very beautiful meal. Meanwhile, you know, single brothers will go and mix your concussion. The problem is that we look down on ourselves. We don't know that people grow. People grow. People evolve. People become better. Stop looking around. You have been attacked. I'm telling you. If you don't bring the context of God into what is going on in your life, you will not understand what I'm saying. You will think it's me. No! There's an agenda here. Satan intends for you to miss it maritally. Yeah. It's not about marrying wrong. Satan intends. Yeah. So that all your prayer life, you will not advance the kingdom of God. You will be praying to stay alive in your marriage. Then people will be telling you, protect your personal space. If it's not working, you need to move out. I don't believe in dying in your marriage. Because you made a mistake. Some of us cannot live outside our marriage. You see, this and most of the strength of spiritual warfare is carnality. The strength of spiritual warfare is carnality. The moment you have another mind that is not like the mind of Christ, you'll be looking at people with a different eye and perspective to what God is looking at. Look at all the people that are married in this church. And look at all the people that you know that are married. Is it because they are the most beautiful? Many of them, including myself, when I got married, I didn't have a bed in my house. We just deceive ourselves, looking for something that does not exist. Do you think for any reason that in my state now, that in my state, let me say I'm still growing. Somebody has made $1 million. You think he's going to marry you and he considers you his equal? You are there to solve a problem. If you can't solve it, go, we'll bring somebody else. It's value. So when I tell you that you need to be skillful, develop yourself. Don't put yourself in, don't make yourself useless to the point that we cannot even say this is what. As a man, walk. As a woman, walk. Don't be lazy. So anybody that is coming will see you at the level you are and respect you. But you see all of that and you think it's different. Please, just write all their names and their matric number. Are you with me now? Everything going on in your life is a subset of something either God or Satan is interested in. Hallelujah. Can I switch? Hallelujah. All right. Everything. And you need to please note what I'm saying. Because some of you just think, oh, it's my problem. It's my problem. What's wrong with you? I can't talk. It's my problem. Everything going on in your life is either is a subset of something either God is interested in or something Satan is. So don't see yourself outside of Christ. Because it is God who causes us to triumph always in who? In Christ. I'm not saying everything is the devil. But I'm telling you on a larger scale, when you look at it, God is either interested or Satan is. Now, there are two clear instructions that the Lord gave to Joshua. In Joshua chapter 5 and verse 2 and 3. Joshua chapter 5 verse 2 and 3. He says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, make you sharp knives. The first instruction was for Joshua to make sharp knives. In the New Testament, we are introduced to the concept of the Word of God as a sword or as a sharp knife, as a double-edged sword. Are we together? Please, are you with me? I said the concept of the sword or a knife in the New Testament captures the Word of God. And God says, make yourselves sharp knives. This speaks not just to, and please, you need to understand what I'm saying here. The scripture says in the book of Ecclesiastes that if the edge is blunt, you will need to put in what? More effort. That means it is possible to be unskillful in the word of righteousness. We have the same Bible verse in front of us, but there's a way we use it. I'm reading this scripture now, and there's a way I am using that scripture. You may read it and read your chapter and may not see what I'm saying. It is possible to be skillful. That means there's a way you use it. Oh my God. The first time, okay, just, if you don't understand what I'm saying, don't worry. But the first time I was, recent, not too long ago, I was asked to use a software called Illustrator. And they told me to draw on it. That was the day I knew my case was hopeless. Because I said, okay, want to redesign the UBA logo. So the person was trying to teach me. He said, okay, draw. Then my hand started dancing to Africa. I think it's just this, you know, the UBA logo. Just this, you know, UBA then. Hey, oh boy. I started sweating. You see, even though my hands are skillful with holding the microphone, even though I have a particular way I write, I've been writing like that all my years. Do you know that your signature is the way it is because you've been signing for so long? And you can even shut your eyes and sign without looking and you know it's correct. But I have not been, my fingers have not been trained to draw. And the last time I was preaching here, I was talking to you about David saying that he has, the Lord trains my fingers to walk. There is a skillfulness that God applies in which you are now able to dispense certain truths and reality of the scripture, not because you are smart, but because you've been doing it. And spiritual warfare, challenges, they are the method God uses to train your fingers. Come on, are you here now? Please, are you still here? So don't run away for battles. No. Those are your training zones. Because with each level, you are upgraded. It's just like playing a video game or computer game. You cross a threshold, it upgrades you, gives you some points, gives you more tools to play the game. You can be playing a game, but you're a rookie. So it's possible to be to be unskillful in the world of righteousness, in the use of the word of right. God tells you, my son, arise and shine. But you heard, arise and shine. What somebody heard is, between the point of trying to arise and shining, there will be spiritual warfare. So I cannot go into, that arising is a season. The shining is another season. I must enter it cautiously and spiritually. Every time men attempted to rise, what happened to them? Adam was created, a man who never knew what it meant to be a child. He met himself as a man. So he met himself in that state. He never knew what it meant to fall until he fell. So, okay. Which way again do we have here? We have Saul, King Saul. A man who was looking for missing asses but found a kingdom. Said, ooh, he was not prepared. That was the problem with Saul. Saul was a better man than David. At least Saul was not killing his commanders. He was not marrying his commander's wife. You know that thing forever will remain a blemish. That's, you have to be careful. Don't allow your wife to go to King David's house. You know, the way the spirit moves him sometimes, we don't really understand. He's a man of God, though. He's a man of God. I cannot speak against God's anointed, but sometimes, you know, there are some things that nobody is talking about, but we don't, okay, they say, let's keep quiet, okay, we'll keep quiet. But, Bathsheba. You too, you have seen it, I'm seeing it, okay. But they say we should not talk, so let everybody mind his business. It's only God that knows who is serving him. You can get to heaven and meet him. 1 minute before he dies, he will ask for forgiveness. Hey, you're unskillful in the word of righteousness. Hey, have you heard all those lines before? They are Nigerian lines. So when you hear those things, you now realize that, oh, so the problem with Saul was that he was not prepared. The advantage David had was that he was prepared. He was a man of God's presence from the very, even when there was no promise of a kingdom. Which was what made it easier for God to restore him. And God didn't bother. He rejected Saul immediately. Are you aware that Saul never went to God in repentance? Hello? Hello? It takes a man of the presence of God. If you have ever been a man of presence and you now notice for like 3 days, 4 days, you can't sense his presence. Say, what's happening? What's happening? You enter fast. What is 21 days? We are starting today. Father, shut up. 3 days, only one prayer point. Lord, give me your presence again. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. There are people going about saying, because we are Christian in the New Testament, we should not be praying the prayer of David, where he said, take not your Holy Spirit from me. It's not that God took his spirit. You are the one who left him. So the prayer and the fasting is a journey back to the last bus stop where you met with him. So when you are back. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. If you grieve him, he goes. If he doesn't want to destroy you, he will go. And many times, go and look at the scripture. When the spirit comes upon a man, there's a lot of noise. He came upon Samson. The spirit of God began to move him at a certain time. In Acts chapter 2, the heavens opened. All of a sudden, there was like cloven tongues as of fire. Everybody, oh my God. I was in Akumba last week, Sunday. And on the final day of the meeting, it was on Sunday, I came into the meeting. They brought me into the meeting, and I couldn't come into the church. Everywhere was filled. They couldn't allow the pastor, the guest minister. People were trying to go in. I said, Jesus. And the Lord told me, say, from today, the sound of revival is now upon your tongue. Amen. And I took that message. I said, God, I will run. I said, I will run anywhere. Say, from today, I've added revival to your message. By the time we gave the altar call, if you are ashamed, you know, a brother came out. The moment he said the sinner's prayer, the moment he prayed on the altar, I just said, Daketaba, Torakata. No prayer for baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, oh my God, this is beautiful. It's not people say it's only women that fall under the anointing. You come and see this one. Just Jesus, I receive you. I will never turn my back. The moment he said that prayer, I just said, I just put the mic close to him. I just said, Yakadabadagada, hey! You don't know this God. So if you are having those kind of encounters, all of a sudden you are now noticing like you can't even trace what is going on around you. The demons that could not look at your face are now knocking your head. Hey, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Say, make the sharp knives. It's possible that the edge of the knife has become blunt. It's possible. If you are someone that walks out often and you've not done it for a while, the moment you try to get back into the game, you notice your thighs and your joints are not responding the way you used to respond. When I was much younger, I used to stand on top of walls and I would flip in the air 3 times and land on my feet. We used to call it Bahanu in those days. In Hausa land, you know, we'll somersault. I could somersault like backflip like 20 times. If my mom saw me, she would have broken to tears because this boy doesn't talk at home. But you just see something your friends are doing. They teach you how to do it. You start backflipping. Pa, pa, pa. So the question now became, how many times can you go? How many times can I go? But we were making the cutting edge sharp. It was a skill. It was a skill. It was a skill. Many times when you begin to make that attempt to sharpen the cutting edge, you will feel the resistance and the struggle within yourself. It's just like when you are learning to paint for the first time. Make the sharp knives and circumcise again. Make the sharp. Whose responsibility is it to make the knife sharp? My responsibility. Your responsibility, which means regardless of your prophecy and the promise of heaven, if you don't take responsibility, you are going nowhere. You think God will tell you to fast? You think God will tell you to train yourself to fast? Huh? You want the devil to stay at your doorstep before you know what you should do. Okay, we'll allow the devil. You don't know that adversity reveals men. Adversity. You don't know your friends. Let problem come. He said, make the sharp knife. Make for yourself sharp knives. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, it says, for the word of God is what? Is what? Is quick and alive. And it is what? Sharper than any two-edged sword. Oh, but the knife can become blunt too in your hands. The same scripture, the same revelation, but the way we use it, because you are unskilled in the word of righteousness. When you read from Mark chapter 16, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall speak in other tongues. Why are you not speaking in other tongues? You see, until you take a step of faith, you will not be filled. Peter and John looked at that man by the beautiful gate and said, fasten your eyes on us. That's where the contact is. That's where the power will flow from. Fasten your eyes upon us. Fasten your eyes. Look at us. Don't look at my hands. Look at my eyes. Say, look at me. Peter knew that Jesus was in him. Peter knew that the eyes are one of the gateways into the soul. Peter knew that just the way he could lay hands, he could transfer power with his eyes. And he said, look upon us. Silver and gold, I have not. What I have, I want to give to you now. Now! He said it like he knew what would happen. In the name of Jesus Christ, the power of God from his mouth followed the gaze of his eyes. The power of God upon his mouth followed the gaze of his eyes. You cannot be praying for something and you are focused on another. Listen to me. The power of God in your mouth will go in the direction of your focus. For many of you that want to travel out and sneak away, let me ask you one question. If you start earning $10,000working in Nigeria, but you earn $10,000, will you leave? No, answer me now. Because, okay, let's leave $10,000. If you start earning $5,000, so you will change it yourself at the black market. And others are shouting, jackpot, jackpot, jackpot. Will you go? $5,000 times 750. 3.5 million per month. And you only work 3 or 4 hours a day. Monday to Friday. Will you leave the country? Will you choose vacation over relocation? Why not ask God to show you the secret of wealth? I'm not against traveling out. I'm just telling you that wherever there is conflict, that's where your money is. Make you sharp knives. Let your hands become proficient. Lay hold on eternal life. That word that God has given you, learn how to go to war with it. It's not going to happen overnight. You are going to train your hands. The first time you hold that laptop, it's going to be very heavy in your hands. Keep working on it. You look at that entire software, you become very confused. Don't worry. Start with the basics. Click file. Go to Windows. Click all essential template. Click graphic. Just be playing with it. Don't worry. Don't worry yourself with somebody who has been in the game for 5 years. Stay in your lane. Be motivated, but don't be overwhelmed. Come on, say be motivated, but don't be overwhelmed. Because overwhelm is real. So don't let devil tell you can't learn any new skill. It's a lie. Because it trains my hands to war. The moment you find that you are having some kind of mental block, Rakuteba, kakakaba, it teaches my hands to war. It teaches my hands to war. There is nothing I cannot learn. There's nothing I cannot absorb. There's nothing that is difficult for me. Begin to speak. Don't let the voice of the devil be loud in your head. Say, make for you what? Sharp knives. The second condition the Lord gave them. Go back to that scripture. Joshua 5, verse 2. Say, make these sharp knives, and what? Again! Circumcise again! Listen to me, there are two contexts to this. In this particular story, the children of Israel that Joshua had to pastor, they were not the same people that Moses pastored. Believe me, the people in your circle of influence, they are still in children's church now. Just believe me. The people that will use you as a reference point, they are not your level. Huh? They are still in children's church. Some of them have not been born. Classical example. Pastor Sam Adeyemi left this country, was already in his 50s. Who are the people in his church? 20s, young graduates, students. Who are the people attending DLA? People just starting their career, 20s and 30s. He was 50s. So when he started the church at the age of 30, where were those people? Some of them were children church, toddler, mother's womb, unborn. So when the Lord will be saying to him, I'm sending you nation, 40,000 people. And he looks at the people in the church. He said, these ones are the elders. They are not the... You know, you have gray hair now, but you don't know. But the prophecy God is talking about is about some children that are yet to be born. Look at the gap of Joshua with the children of that were born in those days that had become men or that were becoming men. They were in their 20s. Meanwhile, Caleb was 80. Caleb was still saying, give me this mountain. These were the men that worked with Moses. They worked with Moses faithfully, but they were in their final quarter. Listen to me. Work hard so that you can mentor a generation. Work hard. Work hard. If you are listening to me and you find yourself in Canada now, congratulations. Work hard so that you can mentor a generation there. Come on, are you with me now? If you wake up now, or you travel now in your mind, and you find yourself at the gates of the White House, you are welcome. We still need men. Come on, say we need men. We need men even in the U.S. You are here, welcome. Where are you? Michigan. Very good. Work hard. Make sharp knives. Father a generation. Become the reference point for God in this land. When others are compromising and adulterating scripture, stand your ground. Don't worry. Don't worry. It is the blessing of the Lord that make it rich. Just stand your ground. Ah, a generation is coming. Ah, no. A generation is coming. While I was preaching in Akumba, the Lord spoke to me about a lady who had done an abortion. And the Lord said he was not only going to heal her, he was going to give her the healing anointing if she would come out. And I only said it once and I moved on. I continued preaching. There's no shame. And a beautiful lady, very young girl, she must have been in her 20s, 20, 21, 20. Very beautiful name, just came out. I thought she wanted prayers. She said, I'm the one. She didn't look like it. I would not see such a lady and suspect her. Say, when did it happen? Say, January. This is June. I didn't bother announcing it again. I just held her hand. I prayed for her. The power of God, like raw fire fell upon her. And I knew. Because the healing anointing upon my life works like currents of electricity. The moment the thing flowed, I knew it. She has gotten it. Somebody came to me after the service and said, I was the other person. I just prayed for her. Go. You are healed. But the one that got the healing anointing, she didn't just get the restoration. She got The healing anointing. And the healing anointing will first of all recalibrate the software, the hardware, where it is resident, before it can be dispensed for the use of others. You don't know you're anointed. Oh, when we throw you into a corner, you will know what is inside of you. You will know. Even if God does not want to use you, but when you have a hall filled with overflow and people are sitting on the streets, they are sitting on the streets under canopy, standing. They can't see your face, but they are hearing your voice. And they are coming to give their life to Christ. And they are getting restored and getting healed. Ooh. The power of God was so evident, the ushers couldn't catch up. They couldn't catch up. They couldn't catch up. There's no time to lay hands. There's no time to lay hands. The power of God was sweeping through the place like fire. There was no time. There was no time. All the pastors, about 20 fellowships, became ushers. There was no time. Raw power waiting. If you can meet two conditions. We have to go back to the word of God. Are you with me? We have to go back to the word of God. Satan and social media and new age will tell you there are other things. They will tell you that's on Sumerian text. Have you heard of Sumerian text? You people are not researching. Sumerian text say that thing that happened to Adam and Eve is a lie. It's not the first. The older, there's a version where the Bible copied it from. Bible copied from Sumerian text. Then they will start giving you the historical background. At the end of the day, what is Satan trying to do? He's trying to make his own gospel thrive in controversy. So that if you are hearing that, okay, this thing about Jesus dying, it's not only Christianity. Oh. There's another religion where somebody died and rose again after 3 days. Oh, that means Christianity must have copied the other one. By the time it discredits the Bible in your hand, you will not even know the day you will take the Bible and put somewhere and become a TikTok content creator. Before you call yourself a content, you better ask yourself, what are you creating? Are you creating content or are you jobless? Before you call yourself a social media manager, what are you managing? Is it not possible that the reason why you are trying to get 1 million followers is because in the last day, Paul said, men shall be lovers of themselves. And you will now want to get validated by how many people follow you. That they follow you doesn't mean they listen to you. They follow you because you are not saying the truth. The day you start saying the truth, they won't follow you. We are at war. We are at war. There is even the one in amongst us who is called as a chief must learn the art of war. When you go to war, they go with chefs, they go with cooks, they go with chaplains, but everybody has a gun. They go with doctors. But in case the battle breaks the resistance and comes into the inner chambers, you must be willing to shoot. Say, I'm a Christian, I don't want to kill anybody. Hey! Make for yourself what? Sharp knives. This is serious. And this is the Bible. Learn how to sit with the word of God. You are not like you want to rush or anything. Just let it be playing into your soul. You are somewhere in the kitchen. Get a Bluetooth speaker. Connect it to your iPhone or your phone. While you are cooking, or put this Bluetooth speaker in your kitchen and connect a YouTube channel where they read scriptures live. Just be listening. Or be listening to worship. Don't allow your mind wander because your axe head will become dull. Why do people listen to the word of God and yet they don't have it in themselves to obey? Why is it that the moment that we hear the word of God, as we are stepping out, we can't even remember what we've heard? Why is it that we do not have a heart to go back and listen to a message? The axe head is dull. There is no revelation. God gave them two conditions. He said, number one, before you go into this battle, you must make for yourself sharp knives. You must become skilled in the use of God's word. You must become knowledgeable in God's word. You must have revelation knowledge. Not just the head knowledge. You must go deep, deep over every situation in your life. Ask yourself, what is the revelation equation in this matter? What is the revelation factor in this matter? If you're always getting into a relationship and somewhere in between the line, relationship just goes bust. Before you accuse the girl that she's the difficult person, why not sit down and ask yourself, what is God saying? Do you know that there are ladies now, if they have their choice, they don't even want to get married. They don't want to get married. All that thing you are saying is for your pocket. A lady is making $2,000 every month, working from home. You are making 500,000 naira. And you are promising her heaven and earth. When you've not even given yourself a three-bedroom flat, you want to give a woman the earth. Because even you as a Christian do not know that there is something more than gold. The Spirit of God in the heart of men is more than gold. But you don't know. Anointing, you don't have. Teach the word, you don't have. Is the word of God affecting your character? No, sir. Because your mentors are those on social media trying to correct the body of Christ. They don't go to church. They say they are church on the air. There's no risk. If you believe God call you, rent a hall. Let's start. Then you will know that even your wife doesn't flow with you. Talk is cheap. Anybody can say nothing. Put your money where your mouth is. Find revelation and tell yourself, I'm going to, as per this area of my life, I will stand upon this God, this word I've discovered. Take Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 and build your life on it. Say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his establishment and expansion and all other things. Let us prove it. Take the next 5 years and prove it. Give to God's work. Be a soul winner. Disciple. Establish, oh my God, covenant relationships. And then let's wait and see 5 years if you are still in the same space. Many Christians don't even believe in immortality. They don't. That they don't believe in their flesh. The word of God can make them younger. They don't believe it. So you invest in all kinds of special oil and very expensive things, but it's your money and you're always broke. I mean, it's your money. It's not my business. Just pay your tithe. Whatever I do with your money is your problem. I'm just telling you that you can either be in a secret court or be in the secret place. You choose one. Yes. Yes. So when we come back for second service, I will take it deeper. But please, there are two conditions here. And when we come back, I'll go much deeper into these two conditions. Because this is what God is saying. This is why many people have lost battles. They knew Bible verses. They were fasting and praying. They were doing prayer of 2 and 3, where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, but they were violating these two conditions. Come on, say my eyes are open. Something of note in that scripture is that God says, circumcise them again. Again. Come on, say again. 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 Oh, I knew you were circumcised before now, but God says where we are going, we need a high level of consecration. We need to reestablish our covenant. There was a time God wanted to redeem the house of Jacob, and God said, go back to where I first met with you. Where was that? Bethel. And there God renewed the covenant with him again. Every time the Israelites deviate from God, they will have to come back and build another altar. And there God will renew the covenant again. Don't play that card and say, oh, because in 1992, when I first came to Christ, this one happened, that happened. Excuse me. The battle has changed. That was below at the foot of the mountain. Now you are at the peak of the mountain. You can fall off. So you need to establish another altar here. You need to bring yourself to a higher level of consecration awareness. Say, make for yourself sharp knives. Is it worthy of note to that God did not just say one knife? Say knives. Revelations are on different levels. The word of God you need for this area of your life may not be what you need for another phase. So you have to be skillful in the word of righteousness.